ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामहं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैतगदाधर शिवाशदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैतगदाधर शिवाशदि गौरभक्तवृन्द नमो भक्ति विनोदाय सच्चिदानंद नामिने गौरशक्ति स्वरूपाय रूपानुगवरायते। इन द मेटीरियल प्लेटफॉर्म द बर्थ ऑफ समवन और अपीयरेंस ऑफ समवन इज अ सोर्स ऑफ जॉय एंड दिस अपीयरेंस इज अ सोर्स ऑफ लैमेंटेशन suffering. But in the spiritual platform, appearance and disappearance both are a source of celebration and joy. That's why we are celebrating today Srila Shri Gadadhar Pandit's disappearance and also the disappearance of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We'll briefly discuss about the reason for that. First of all, we have a very clear understanding that the spiritual personality comes from the spiritual sky. He comes here due to the arrangement, due to the divine arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, comes by the arrangement of Yogamaya, the arrangement of this personality is the arrangement of appearance and disappearance of these personalities are also due to the arrangement of this divine internal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna wants that Krishna consciousness must spread. Krishna comes here to perform his pastimes and he makes arrangements for these personalities to come here, his associates to come here. Like Gadadhar Pandit came to participate in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came along with his associates, Sangha Pangastra Parshadam, Sa Anga, Upa Anga, Astra and Parshad. Sa Anga means his own expansions. Upa Anga is his secondary associates. He came with a weapon, Astra. But this weapon is not his usual Astra, like disc or mace or sword or bow and arrow. This Astra is a very special weapon. This weapon with which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came is the weapon of his beauty. Generally, he kills the demons with the disc or mace or bows and arrows. But here in this age, in the age of Kali, Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with a very, very special Astra or weapon to kill the demons or the demoniac mentalities of the people of this age. And that weapon is his beauty. With his beauty he is conquering everybody. Another reason why he didn't use weapon, this like disc or mace in this age, because if he did that, then practically everybody had to be annihilated. Because everyone is so demoniac in this age. He will do that. He'll do that at the end of Kali. When he would come as Kalki avatar, then he will slaughter everybody with his sword. That time his weapon will be his sword, Kalki avatar. But this is the beginning of Kali Yuga. At the end of Kali Yuga, he will annihilate all the miscreants, all the demoniac individuals. And in Kali Yuga, practically everyone is influenced by the demoniac propensities. So he'll have to, the end of Kali, he'll kill everybody. And those who are pious, those who are devotees, with them he'll start the Satya Yuga. But this is the beginning of Kali. So Kali Yuga had to stay, Kali Yuga had to continue. Therefore he did not kill with weapons. He simply killed the demoniac propensities. And just by seeing him, everybody, seeing his beauty, people will become attracted. And he has another astra, another weapon, that is love. With love he is killing the demons or the demoniac propensity. He has another weapon, the holy name. So in this age he uses these three weapons, extremely deadly weapons. All the demoniac propensities are immediately vanquished. His beauty, his love, and the holy name. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came along with his weapon and his associates. So, Sa Anga, his expansions, his own manifestation is Nityananda Prabhu. His Shakti is Gadadhar Pandit. His incarnation, Bhakta incarnation, is Advaita Acharya. And devotee, Parshad, is Narad Muni, Srivas Thakur, and all the devotees. So this is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, in five features. In this age, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came as Pancha Tattva, or five features. Pancha Tattat Makam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavatarang Bhaktakhyang Bhaktavatarang Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. So, these are the five features, five ways that he manifested himself. He himself came as a devotee. His incarnation, his expansion of devotee is Nityananda Prabhu. His incarnation is Mahavishnu, that came as Advaita Acharya. Gadadhar Pandit is Hari Shakti, Srimati Radharani. Radharani expanded him herself. Radharani appeared as Srila Gadadhar Pandit. And then Sri Srivas Thakur and Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special appearance in this age. So Gadadhar Pandit is Bhakta Shakti. His Shakti, his potency has appeared as a devotee with him, Gadadhar Pandit. And he himself is a combination, he himself is an unified form of he himself and his Shakti. Shakti and Shaktiman. Shaktiman is Krishna and Shakti is Srimati Radharani. So, then when the Shaktiman and Shakti become one, that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Krishna and Radha Rani become one, that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then the question arises, well, Krishna appeared as Srimati Radharani and Krishna became one. and they appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then why again Radharani, you are saying that Radharani appeared as Gadadhar Pandit? The point in that respect is, yes, Krishna assumed the mood of Srimati Radharani and appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Radharani considered, let me see how he plays my role. And to watch, she appeared as Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's constant companion. Constant companion. He was little younger than him, a few years younger than him. But he was so fond of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he was always with him. Always. And not only that, he was also very emotional. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't treat him properly, he would become extremely upset. And then Mahaprabhu would come and pacify him. So this is how they grew up together in their childhood. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya to perform his father's Shraddha ceremony, Pinda, there he took initiation from Ishwarpuri. And from then onwards, Mahaprabhu became so ecstatic in Krishna prema that he started to behave like a madman. And he was in a very, very pathetic situation at times. Like he would cry all the time, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? And everyone thought that he became mad, but those who knew, they knew that it is the highest ecstatic symptom. In the mood of Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is searching for Krishna everywhere. Then one day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lamenting like that, and he was crying and crying. Then Gadadhar Pandit told him, Nimai, why are you searching for Krishna in this? Krishna is there in your heart. And when Gadadhar Pandit said that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with his nails, he was trying to price open his chest and to see Krishna in his heart. And that was another critical situation. So then Gadadhar Pandit told that Krishna has gone away for a while, he'll come back soon, don't worry. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became pacified. Sachimata noticed that, and Sachimata became very impressed with this action of Gadadhar Pandit. So, Sachimata told that although Gadadhar is young, but he is so intelligent and he is so caring. So, he told Gadadhar Pandit to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all the time. He said, Gadadhar, you stay with him all the time and take care of him. So, due to this order of Sachimata, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mother, Gadadhar Pandit made it a point to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all the time. And he was with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all the time. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and left home, Gadadhar Pandit went with him to Jagannath Puri. And there he thought that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would stay there all the time. He now came to Jagannath Puri. So Mahaprabhu would stay there. So he also resolved that he also will never leave Jagannath Puri. So thinking that, he took a vow of Kshetra Sannyas. Kshetra Sannyas means taking sannyas of staying in a holy dham and never to leave that place. So that's a vow. Like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya also took Kshetra Sannyas. In this way, some people take Kshetra Sannyas in holy places like Jagannath Puri, Vrindavan, etc. And so then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to leave for Vrindavan. So Gadadhar Pandit wanted to go with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He followed him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, you can't come. You have taken the vow of Kshetra Sannyas. Gadadhar Pandit's response was, all the sannyas and everything is just to get you. So my business is to go to you, go with you, and my sannyas and everything, they can go to hell. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no. When you have taken a vow, you shouldn't break that vow. And Mahaprabhu insisted that Gadadhar Pandit stayed back in Jagannath Puri. And saying that, and Mahaprabhu was so stern in that decision that he wouldn't let Gadadhar Pandit come. So when he would not allow Gadadhar Pandit to come and he left, Gadadhar Pandit fainted. And then other associates took him back to Jagannath Puri, from the border of Jagannath Puri. And Gadadhar Pandit stayed all along, all throughout he stayed in Jagannath Puri. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, it was very difficult for him to stay on in Jagannath Puri. Actually, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, Gadadhar Pandit used to recite the Bhagavatam to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was an extremely accomplished singer. Naturally, who is he? Srimati Radharani. Gandharvika Devi. The personality who is the master of all the fine arts. All the fine arts of pleasing Krishna. So she used to recite Srimad Bhagavatam to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, his condition became so pathetic that he was crying all the time. And that also brings another point, that Srinivas Acharya, who was an associate of Narottam Das Thakur, and for whose sake Narottam Das Thakur wrote this song, actually, that we sang just now. So Srinivas Acharya, from his childhood, he wanted to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then when he became of grown-up age, meaning maybe he was about 14 years old at that time, his parents gave him the permission to go to Jagannath Puri. And on the way to Jagannath Puri, he got the news that Mahaprabhu left the planet. And he became so heartbroken getting that news that he decided to give up his body. So he gathered some wood. He was traveling, so it was in the forest. He gathered some wood and he thought that he would light a fire and he would enter in the fire and give up his body. When he lit the fire and he was about to enter, at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assured him, told him not to commit suicide, not to give up his body. And he assured him that he would always be in his heart. And he also suggested that he goes to Jagannath Puri and studies Srimad Bhagavatam under the tutelage of Gadadhar Pandit. So, according to that instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to Jagannath Puri and he met Gadadhar Pandit and told him that he wanted to study Srimad Bhagavatam under his tutelage. Gadadhar Pandit declined. He said, look, I can't teach anymore. I can't even read Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, whenever I open Srimad Bhagavatam, the tears just come streaming down my eyes and I can't read. Saying that, he gave him his Srimad Bhagavatam. Those days, there was no printing. Everything was just handwritten. and that also on palm leaves. So he gave that Srimad Bhagavatam to him. But what Srinivas Thakur got, he saw that the letters have been obliterated due to the tears from Gadadhar Pandit's eyes. So he was constantly crying due to Mahaprabhu's separation. And so eventually Gadadhar Pandit left the planet and went back to the spiritual sky after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance. And today is the day. On this day he left this planet. Another beautiful pastime of Gadadhar Pandit was that he always was completely absorbed in Mahaprabhu's association. And when they were young, they used to go to the forest, they used to travel together. And one day he saw a parrot. And the parrot was chanting the name of Krishna. Parrot was chanting the name of Radha. And he said, no, chant the name of Krishna. And the parrot refused to do that. And at the later part, Gadadhar Pandit was so, he used to worship the deity of Tota Gopinath. And Tota Gopinath, all the deities of Krishna are standing. But when you go to Tota Gopinath, you find that deity is sitting. And the reason is that when Gadadhar Pandit was so weak and incapacitated that he could not really stand up and dress the deities. So seeing that, the deity sat down so that he could take care of him and do the Shringar sitting down. So this is how beautifully the Lord reciprocated with Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit disappeared on this day. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur also disappeared on this day. Bhakti Vinod Thakur is another amazing personality. The Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very obscure practically. Soon after, just a couple of hundred years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance. And it became, two things disappeared after Mahaprabhu's disappearance from this planet. His dham disappeared and his teachings became obscure due to all kinds of unpalatable propaganda or teachings of the upper sampradayas. You see, what actually happened is, when somebody wants to present something, it has a better recognition, it gets a better recognition when it is presented in somebody's name who is famous. So that's what actually these people were doing. Some of them were Mahaprabhu's associates and they deviated. But some, they just wanted to get popular response. They just passed it as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. The teachings had nothing to do with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are gross materialists and all. Just to give an example, many of these teachings were based on breaking the four regulative principles. Mahaprabhu's teachings are so pure that it is completely and most wonderfully founded on the four regulative principles, following the four regulative principles. But many of these upper sampradayas, there are 12 prominent ones out of them, like Aul is one upper sampradaya, Baul, they are very prominent, even today, in the villages and other places in India, especially Bengal, has been very badly affected by that. Aul, Baul, and Lara, Lady, the Buddhists, a group of Buddhists, they shaved their head and they also started to make their presentation in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lara, Lady, Lara, Lady. The men are called Laras, and women are called ladies. They shave their heads. Then, Sakhi Bheki, some, they dress up like women, Sakhis. They male, but they dress up in sari, behave like women. They think this is how they're going to become Sakhis of Krishna. They behave as if they're Sakhis of Krishna in Vrindavan. But actually the way to follow Krishna in Vrindavan is follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Sankirtan. That is why Krishna came, to open the gate of Vrindavan. Chaitanya Krishna considered, after revealing his Vrindavan pastimes, Braja Leela, that how will anyone ever enter into Braja Leela, Vrindavan pastimes? And in order to make it possible for people of this age of Kali, he came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and gave the process of Sankirtan. I don't want to get into the details about that, but Chaitanya Charitamrita very clearly explains that in the Adi Leela third chapter. And also Bhakti Vinod Thakur in Navadvip Mahatmya, towards the end, he is explaining, Nityananda Prabhu is teaching Jiva Goswami about the purpose of Mahaprabhu's appearance, and he actually explained that in order to enable a living entities to enter into Vrindavan, Krishna appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, access to Vrindavan is impossible. He makes the point this way, that a devotee will naturally serve Krishna in Vaidhi Bhakti. Because if one doesn't follow Vaidhi Bhakti, it will simply create disturbance in the society. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidhing Vina Oikantiki Harir Bhaktir Utpatoiva Kalpate. Utpatoiva Kalpate will simply create disturbance. But by following Vaidhi Bhakti, when one achieves perfection, he goes to Vaikuntha. And when he gets his sarup in Vaikuntha, he cannot change that sarup. He can't go to Vrindavan from Vaikuntha. So how will anyone ever enter into Vrindavan? That was Krishna's concern. Everyone will serve me following Vaidhi Bhakti, and by following Vaidhi Bhakti, he'll go to Vaikuntha. So access to Vrindavan will be impossible. Therefore, Krishna appeared as a devotee. Now, when this devotee Krishna is worshipped through Vaidhi Bhakti, then the gate to Vrindavan opens up. This is the simple understanding. Devotee Krishna is worshipped through Vaidhi Bhakti. And Vaidhi Bhakti means following the scriptural injunctions. What is the way? What is the scriptural injunctions to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Jaggai Sankirtana Prayair. This personality of Krishna is worshipped by Sankirtan Jagya. So through Sankirtan you serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the gate to Vrindavan will open up in course of time. So this is the way. Serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the way to go to Vrindavan. But to try to, these people they concoct, Like, these are all called, these people are called Sahajiyas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a very simple way to go to Vrindavan or achieve spiritual perfection, but they want to even more simplify it. And how they simplify it, just to give you an idea, this one group called Baul, their process is that since Krishna had an affair with Srimati Radharani, who was not his wife, to really understand that mood, you have to get somebody else's wife to become your companion. And they literally elope somebody else's wife and they become their partner in their... So you can see, like, it was so degraded, it was so unpalatable, it was so disgusting, their activities, that the cultured, educated people did not want to have anything to do with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because they thought that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings are these activities. So this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings became covered completely. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur came at a time like that, and he revived Mahaprabhu's pure teachings. When the educated, intelligent, cultured community of Bengal were completely oblivious of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared as a very, very educated, very intellectual, very cultured, and one of the brightest individuals of his time. He was a government officer, very high-ranking government officer. He was a deputy magistrate in the British India. And he was so brilliant that there's a community, one religious group that was developing at that time in order to stop the Hindus becoming Christian. Many educated Indians at that time, due to the British education and British influence, were giving up their Hindu background and becoming Christians. So, to stop that, some thoughtful individuals, leading reformers of the society, they started a new thing, new culture, which was a kind of a blend between Christianity and Vedanta philosophy. That's called Brahma Samaj. They're very prominent, and most of the educated people were actually becoming members of this community, which was started by some very important personalities, like Rabindranath Tagore's grandfather, Prince Dwarkanath Thakur, and some of his friends actually started this community. And a new religious group, actually, Brahma Samaj. And in that community, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a big catch. They got Bhaktivinoda Thakur also to become their member. They were trying to get him. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur also was sympathetic towards their cause. But one day, when they asked Bhaktivinoda Thakur to give a lecture, in that lecture Bhaktivinoda Thakur simply spoke about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he actually, with all good intention, he actually presented that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings is the solution. The real solution to this problem is Mahaprabhu's teachings. Because through Mahaprabhu's teachings, if it is properly presented, that not only the Hindus will stop becoming Christians, but the Christians will become the followers of the Vedic culture. That was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's presentation. But those people couldn't understand that. They just thought that he's a lost cause and didn't try to pursue him anymore. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur took up that cause. He wanted to re-establish. He saw that this is it. Ultimately, who is Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Bhaktivinoda Thakur is an associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna. He is a Manjari. Manjari, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Swarup, spiritual identity has been disclosed. He is a Manjari. Manjaris are the young gopis who actually assist the elderly gopis, the sakhis, in Krishna's pastimes. They are called Manjaris, like Rupa Manjari, Ananga Manjari, Raga Manjari, Rasa Manjari. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a Manjari who is known as Kamala Manjari. So that is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's spiritual identity. That has been disclosed to his associates. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur took up that cause. In one hand, he is a personality coming from a very aristocratic background. His grandfather was a big landlord. His family was, he himself wrote the lineage of his family. It goes back and they have incredible contribution to the society, his forefathers, his ancestors. And he's from his mother's side, his grandfather was a big landlord not too far from Mayapur in a place called Birnagar. To go to Mayapur, those of you who have traveled to Mayapur by train, you have gone to Krishnanagar station. That's the last station where you get down, and then from there you take a transport. And so the station before Krishnanagar is Virnagar. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born in Virnagar in his maternal grandfather's house. And he spent first his early days in that area, in that house, in his grandfather's house. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was brought up born in a very aristocratic family in Bengal, educated with British education. Those days, the British had spread their influence very effectively in the cultured and high class society through their education system. Like the missionaries, English missionaries used to go there and set up schools. And this is how they actually influenced the Indians. They gave them the English education, and through that education they actually made them so influenced that they practically became their agents. And through them they actually ruled the country. They educated them in the British education. Now, who go for education? The high class people go for education, especially those days. And there, when this high class community, who are the head of the society, they are educated with the British education, then naturally they will develop some sort of allegiance to the British. And then the British gave them big, big positions. And through that, so we can see Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, he was educated with British education, then he got a big position in the British government, he was a magistrate. So he actually, in an apparent way, he became a puppet in their hands. I mean, he would have been a puppet in their hands. That's in one side. But on the other side, he is now promoting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. But it was so difficult to establish Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings because Bhaktivinoda Thakur heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, but he did not get it in a concrete form, in the form of a book. He was just, it's only by hearing through some of genuine followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually came across Mahaprabhu's teachings. And Mahaprabhu's teachings were so badly obscured that at that time, to find even Chaitanya Charitamrita, he was looking for a Chaitanya Charitamrita. He knew that the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life and teachings has been most wonderfully presented through Chaitanya Charitamrita. He started to look for Chaitanya Charitamrita. But in Bengal, in entire Bengal, he couldn't find a single copy. He searched for 8 years. After 8 years of search, he got one copy, that also not in Bengal, but in Odisha. So this is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur started to revive. So after he got the copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita and he saw that the nectar that was there, he immediately wanted to distribute it. So he wrote, he gave and his commentary called Amrita Prabaho Bhashya. His commentary is known as a flow of nectar. Literally, it's a flow of nectar. With that commentary, Bhaktivinoda Thakur presented Chaitanya Charitamrita. He printed it. Then Chaitanya Bhagavat Bhakti Ratnakar, he started to print these teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and started to give his commentary. He started a newspaper, and in this way Bhaktivinoda Thakur started to revive Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. Bhaktivinoda Thakur just in a very wonderful way he started the revival, and that's why one very prominent person in Bengal known as Shishir Kumar Ghosh, who actually was running a very prominent newspaper, both English and Bengali. He was a very important person of Bengal at that time and a big ardent follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He identified Bhaktivinoda Thakur as the seventh Goswami. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan were there, and it's very appropriate also, we can see that how the naming him as the seventh Goswami, how appropriate it was. Because the six Goswamis were assigned by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to retrieve the holy places of Krishna's pastimes, the places of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, and to revive Mahaprabhu's teachings through scriptural support, scriptural evidence. Nana Shastra Vichare Naiko Nipunau Sadharma Shangsthapako. Consulting various scriptures, the six Goswamis established the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is the most substantial form of religion. Sadharma Sangsthapako. He established that, and they rediscovered or retrieved the places of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Now, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur did the same thing in Navadvip. Mahaprabhu's dham disappeared after Mahaprabhu's disappearance, and his teachings disappeared. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually started the revival. But he was a high-ranking government officer, so he did not have much time himself. Therefore, he prayed to Lord Jagannath. Yes, at that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the magistrate, the person in charge of that district, the area of Jagannath Puri. And he also became the custodian of the Jagannath Puri temple on behalf of the government. So he, while serving Lord Jagannath as a government official, he prayed to Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri to send him an appropriate assistant to continue his mission. And as a result of his prayer, as we all know, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings were lost. His dham was lost. Again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually discovered Mayapur. I'm sure all of you know that Mayapur actually was lost. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu withdrew his pastimes, Mayapur also disappeared. There was a flood. There was a massive flood. And the whole of Navadvip were covered in that flood for a long time. And Mayapur was lost. Navadvip was lost. Then later on, some unscrupulous individuals, they concocted some place and started to promote that this is Mahaprabhu's birthplace, this is Srivashangan, this is Advaita Bhavan, this is Vishnupriya's house and so forth. Now initially Bhaktivinoda Thakur also accepted that. Yeah, another thing is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so keen, so attached to stay close to Mayapur, Navadvip, that he appealed to the British government. He applied to the government to transfer him in that area. But when the government didn't want to comply to his request, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so adamant that they actually succumbed to his pressure. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to resign. To him, stay close to Mahaprabhu's dham was more important than his big position as a deputy magistrate. So he wanted to resign. So then the government was forced to transfer him. So that's how he got this position, his assignment in Krishnanagar. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur stayed in Godhroom, which is now known as Sarup Ganj, which was good 7-8 kilometers from Krishnanagar. And so one night, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was on his roof. Yeah, first of all, he had some doubts because he saw the description in the scripture of Navadvip is that is on the eastern side of eastern bank of Ganga is this Mayapur Dham where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. But this Mayapur that is going on in the name of Mayapur is on the western bank. And there is no evidence of Ganga shifting so much that way. Another thing, he started to consider that when Mahaprabhu took the demonstration to protest against Kaji's verdict that no one would be able to chant the holy name of the Lord, millions of people actually went to Kaji at night in a procession, which could have turned quite violent actually. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped that. So there is no description of crossing the Ganges. So in this way he started to wonder, you know, why this thing is not fitting into the descriptions of the scriptures, like Bhakti Ratnakar and other scriptures. So one day when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was on his roof, he actually saw a light on the other side of the river, Jalangi, Saraswati. The place lit up and he saw a beautiful city with beautiful palatial buildings and temples. It was just a vision, he just got the vision and then he was wondering what was this. So he asked his clerk, who was also, they were working at that time. He was doing some official work and his assistant, his clerk was there. So he asked his clerk whether he saw anything. The clerk said no, he didn't see anything. And then he asked his son, most really it was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, whether he saw something, and he also described that he had the same vision what Bhaktivinoda Thakur had. So next morning Bhaktivinoda Thakur went across the river and went to that place and he found a strange sight. There was a neem tree, and around the neem tree there is a forest of tulasis. And so, and then asking the local people, he found out that this was a village of the Muslims. Now, tulasis do not grow like that, wild. And tulasis in a Muslim village is unheard of. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur became very... he started to wonder that, is this the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace? And so to confirm it, Bhaktivinoda Thakur... Yeah, then he found out another thing. When he asked the villagers, what's the name of the village? They called that the name of the village is Miyapur. Now, actually, with time, Mayapur, due to the Muslim influence, has become Miyapur. Mia in Muslim means Mr. A respectable man. Miyapur. Mayapur has become Miyapur. So he's that neem tree, he knew that Mahaprabhu appeared under a neem tree. Neem tree surrounded by a forest of tulasis. And then the name of the place is also Miyapur. And so in order to confirm that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur got Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Because he thought Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was the most celebrated Vaishnav at that time. So, and he was 140 years old at that time. He couldn't move. He couldn't walk. His servant, Bihari, he used to put him on a basket. If he had to go somewhere, he used to carry him on a basket on his head. And you have seen the picture of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. With age, his body has become bent. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur arranged to bring Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj to the site. And to everyone's great amazement, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj jumped out of his sitting position and he started to dance in ecstasy, saying, this is the place of Mahaprabhu's birth. This is the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth. And not only was dancing, he was dancing, jumping 5-6 feet high. And that was... So that's why Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj's prayer goes like, Gaurabir bhavo bhumestam nirdeshta sajjana priya Vaishnava Sarvabhauma Sri Jagannathaya Te Namaha. He has been identified as Sarvabhauma. Sarvabhauma means the supreme monarch of the planet. There are kings, rajas, then maharajas, great kings. Above them, that is a samrat. And above samrat is a Sarvabhauma. So, in the community of the Vaishnavas, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj's position was the topmost. So, he was the Vaishnav Sarvabhauma. And Gauravi, one who identified the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauravi Bhava Bhumestam, Nirdeshta. Nirdeshta means pointing out, pointed out. So, in this way, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj reconfirmed that this was the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually built a temple there to mark Mahaprabhu's birthplace as Jogopit. So in this way Bhaktivinoda Thakur not only revived Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, he also retrieved the places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission was revived by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was the, like we see, during Mahaprabhu's time, the whole of India was inundated by Krishna consciousness. Then, Krishna consciousness practically disappeared. And the revival of the Krishna consciousness movement actually started by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And then came Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He gave the thrust to this revival movement. And then came our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. And he actually gave the dimension, the full shape to the Sankirtan movement by spreading it all over the world according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction. And then in order to continue the mission, Srila Prabhupada has established ISKCON. We have to understand that Srila Prabhupada is the personality who came to revive this Krishna consciousness movement. And now his mission will continue through the institution of ISKCON collectively. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually wanted to do that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told his disciples to do that. And Prabhupada told us that because they didn't do that, his institution fell apart. And that's why to revive that, Prabhupada had to come. And we have to understand this is the arrangement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These three personalities, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. The same mission is not different. It's only getting different, further dimension, further magni, the expansion and different magnitude, in different magnitude. And this movement is going to go on. And we are seeing ISKCON is going on. 34 years after Prabhupada's disappearance, ISKCON is going on. Although there has been difficulties, Prabhupada himself said, after an acharya leaves the planet, there's bound to be difficulties. There's bound to be crisis, Prabhupada actually said. After an acharya leaves the planet, there is bound to be a crisis. And an acharya like Srila Prabhupada left, how can we expect that there won't be any crisis? So there has been crisis, but the crisis has been averted. One after another, attacks have come on ISKCON in various ways. But because of this collective endeavor of the devotees, jointly, functioning as an institution, those crises have been averted and overcome. And ISKCON is, we are seeing, ISKCON is becoming stronger and stronger. And so many wonderful things are happening all over the world. Loyal followers of Srila Prabhupada are achieving so much. And it is due to their collective endeavor, Krishna consciousness movement is spreading. It's getting such, it's become, with the passing of time, we are seeing that it's becoming more and more powerful. And this movement is here to stay. In Gaudiya Math, 3 days after after the disappearance of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his followers started to fight. And as a result of that, we can see that, everything fell apart. But in ISKCON, 34 years after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, ISKCON is still there. And not only there, it is becoming stronger and stronger. And we can see that devotees of ISKCON are following Srila Prabhupada's teachings. Yes, some mistakes have been made in the past. But because of this sincerity, the devotees, when somebody realizes that he makes made a mistake, he rectifies that mistake. So yes, devotees of Srila Prabhupada are followers of Srila Prabhupada, made mistakes, but through the mistakes they have learned their lessons, and as a result of that, they became more mature, and the institution has become more secured. And this movement is here to stay, and this is non-different from Bhakti Vinod Thakur's mission. This is Bhakti Vinod Thakur's mission. This is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mission. This is there. This is our real family. Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and all the way it goes to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To go back to Bhakti Vinod Thakur again, he was such a brilliant personality. Not only did he write in Bengali, he also wrote in Sanskrit. And not only did he write in Bengali and Sanskrit, he wrote also in English. Now, writing is one thing. Even more difficult is to present the ideas in the form of poetry. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur wrote essays, novels, teachings, philosophical treatises, and many of them had been presented in poetry. That reminds me, one brilliant work of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, which is actually the essence of the Vedic teachings, the essence of Vedic philosophy, is a writing by Bhakti Vinod Thakur called Jaiva Dharma. It has been translated into English also. Those who want can read that. Anyway, he started to distribute that a little prematurely, even before I told. I was just going to read one poetry by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Where's the Seven Goswami, Rupa, the book? Actually, this is another essence of the Vedic wisdom, Vedic philosophy, Vedic teachings. He just presented in one poetry called Sharagrahi Vaishnava. And it has 22 stanzas. I actually selected a few of them. Maybe I'll just go through only those 10 stanzas that have been given out as printout. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, see how he is giving us the essential teachings of Krishna consciousness. He's saying, first of all, it's written in poetry, and not only in poetry. Often English poetry doesn't very strictly follow the meter and rhyme. Most of the English poets are free-flowing writing. But Bhakti Vinod Thakur is maintaining a very strict concept of meter and rhyme. Like you can see, alas for those who spend their days in festive mirth and joy, the dazzling deadly liquid forms their hearts forever employ. See the meter? The meter is 3-3-4. 3-3-4. And the rhyme, festive mirth and joy, forever, heart forever employ. So, and he's maintaining that rhyme and meter throughout. So, alas for those, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, alas for those who spend their days, who spend their time in festive mirth and joy, in useless endeavor for sense gratification they are trying to enjoy in this material nature. What is this material energy like? The dazzling, the allurement of the material nature is dazzling yet deadly. And liquid, it's temporary, it's liquid. The form is there, like in a fountain. There's a form, but that form is not there, it's just water. The dazzling, deadly, liquid forms, their hearts forever employ. Their heart is always attracted to these allurements of this material nature, which is dazzling, yes, brilliant, so attractive. But you go deep into it, what it is deadly. And that form is liquid. Prabhupada spoke about the liquid beauty. So that's how temporary it is. The shining bottles charm their eyes and draw their hearts' embrace. The slaves of wine can never rise from what we call disgrace. Our condition in this material nature is like a bunch of drunkards. A drunkard, a shining bottle of whiskey, charm their eyes and draw their heart's embrace. And slaves of wine can never rise from what we call disgrace. Then I'm skipping a few stanzas. Actually, I just selected a few. So, the flesh is not our own, alas. Look, what a beautiful presentation. The flesh is not our own, alas. The mortal frame a chain. The soul confined for former wrongs will try to rise again. This body, made of flesh and bones, is not our own, alas. This mortal frame is actually a chain with which we are tied down to this material nature. And the soul has become confined, imprisoned in this body. Why? For our former wrongs, for our past misdeeds. But the soul will try to rise again when it comes across the right personality. Why then this childish plane that, which cannot be our own, which falls within 100 years as if a rose upblown? So why in this childish play in this body which is so temporary, like a rose so beautifully blooms, but then again with time it's just withers and the petals are blown away. Similarly, this body will also disappear in 5 elements. But then a voice, how deep and soft, within ourselves is felt. Man, man, thou art immortal soul, thee death can never melt. The spiritual master comes and makes us hear the voice of the super soul. But then a voice, how deep and soft, within ourselves is felt. It says left, anyway. Man, man, thou art immortal soul. Brings us the message that we are immortal and death can never melt us. In death we do not die, we do not perish. O love, thy power and spell benign, now melt my soul to God. How can my earthly words describe that feeling soft and broad? So we have this love in us. In everyone's heart there is love. This love is actually meant to be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that let that love melt my soul to God. And then what happens? How can my earthly words describe that feeling soft and broad? Forget the past that sleeps and never, the future dream at all. But act in time that are with thee, and progress thee shall call. Forget the past, that is, that sleeps. That's gone. There's no way it's going to come back. And never dream about the future. Because what's the use? Whatever is there, whatever will be, will be. Que sara sara. But act in time that are with thee. Act with the time that is with you, the present that is there with you. So act on that. And progress thee shall call. That will be your real progress. Maintain thy post in spirit world as firmly as you can. Let never matter push thee down. Oh, stand, heroic man. The real heroism Real bravado will be to stand on our spiritual position and never waver from there. Maintain thy post in spirit world as firmly as you can. Let never matter push thee down, O stand heroic man. O Sharagrahi Vaishnava soul, thou art an angel fair. Lead me on to Vrindavan and spirit's power declare. A Vaishnava has been compared to a Sharagrahi Vaishnava. Sharagrahi means one who takes the essence only. Like a swan, you give a swan a mixture of milk and water. You know what the swan will do? Swan has a very special quality, ability. The swan will just take the milk and leave the water. So, in the world of spirit and matter, where this world is a mixture of matter and spirit. So what does a Vaishnava do? Vaishnava simply accepts the spiritual and rejects the matter. So that's why Vaishnava is compared to a swan, Hamsa or Paramahamsa. O Sharagrahi Vaishnava soul, thou art an angel fair. You're a fair angel. Lead me on to Vrindavan and spirit's power declare. Lead me on to Vrindavan and declare the power of the spirit soul. Declare the identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There rests my soul from matter free upon my lover's arms. Eternal peace and spirit's love are all my chanting charms.